Yes, that line forms on the right, babe.
Yeah, it's a line full of quarterbacks attached to the Giants. Yeah!
Back in town. Slightly okay. Not sure why.
Look out, Maggie is back.
Chris McMichael.
Yeah. A little off key on that one, I apologize.
Yes, sir, yes, sir! 202 on the fan. Chris McMonagle here with you in the overnights. You know the deal. I got you for 3 hours till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show, 877-337-6666. That's the number to call. Fliegelman will answer. He will direct you to me, and that's how we will go through these 3 hours together. And I can't wait. We finally reached the day. We'll get to the baseball and both team superstars hopefully turning a corner. We'll get to it. We'll get to the Knicks later tonight. But we have arrived. We have arrived at the NFL draft. And as is my daily custom the last couple of days, I roll over and I see more news. I see more news and I see more teams attached, more quarterbacks attached to the New York Giants on a daily basis. Every stinking report. I've never been happier. It's like Christmas morning every day the last two days. I mean, it's just, I understand that a lot could happen. And I understand that a Malik Nabers is still the odds-on favorite to be the pick, and in my bones, if I had to try and come up with what's going to happen for the New York Giants, I do think that the wide receiver pick is probably more likely because it's difficult to get these quarterbacks who are all going to be drafted. But I don't think it's noise. I don't think it's a smokescreen. I don't think it's BS when you hear everyone, and I mean everyone, tell you how desperate the New York Giants are to come out with a quarterback in this draft. I don't think it's just smoke screens and lies and misinformation, which is so common this time of year from every team in the NFL. I don't believe it to be when you do look at how much time and energy they have spent into dealing with these quarterbacks and meeting with these quarterbacks. And you've got reports now from Graziano that, hey, Michael Penix is someone that could be drafted sixth overall. That's how much they love him. You got J.J. McCarthy on Rich Eisen's show. I don't know. Maybe I'm naive, or maybe I haven't seen a lot, but how often do you see these prospects openly talk? He was asked in the interview, if you haven't seen it, you got to go get it. Got to go check it out. J.J. McCarthy with Rich Eisen. Do you know where you're going? And immediately, which I'm shocked to even ask the question, but immediately J.J. McCarthy comes back with, well, I've had great, meetings with the Giants. And, Brian Daboll has done an incredible job. And, a lot of, my offensive coordinator in college came through Alabama. He came through Alabama. All the different, a lot of things are the same. We've had a really great meeting of the minds. Oh, they're going to trade up to, they're in love with Drake May. They put so much work into all these quarterbacks. I'm finally starting to believe that by hook or by crook, the New York Giants are desperate to find a way to do the only thing that's sensible and bring themselves a young quarterback of the future, because Daniel Jones is no longer someone you can trust. And I want to make something clear on a couple of different levels that we've heard as well. This does not mean that I think Daniel Jones is a complete bum who is terrible. Nor do I think the Giants think that. They just paid him a lot of money. And I do believe in the other reports that ownership, namely John Mara, isn't thrilled with the idea of having to move up, which is what you'll have to do to secure yourself one of these quarterbacks. But I understand the idea of Joe Shane going back into, John Mara's office, knocking on the door and going, excuse me, sir, remember when I asked you for all that money for a contract for the quarterback who led us to a a road playoff win. Yeah. I'm going to have to just say that was a bit of a mistake. And now we're looking to, you know, give up like a ton of draft equity. And I know we did it. We gave up a second round pick for an edge rusher, but I feel like that was worthy. I think everybody liked that, right? I mean, you read the papers. It was good. Everybody seems happy with it. And so now it's time to really, you know, trade up and make sure we get that quarterback of the future. And I know I told you 2 years ago we had him, but, you know, things happen. And neck injuries reemerge and knee injuries. Yep, I know. No, I know we haven't really given him weapons or an offensive line. I understand that. But, yeah, it's time to move on. And if you don't get it, Mara, too freaking bad. Because that's what the truth is. Because of the injuries, because of the unreliability of Daniel Jones, they have to figure out a way. And I believe that these two guys who are looking to secure their future, like, and that's what also has come about the last 2 days about how you make sure you build something here, or what's a crapshoot, as the terminology used so much when talking about the NFL draft. And you're seeing now that even with these three stud wide receivers, that can't miss, right? Can't miss. You're seeing that first round picks, the stats are all over the place the last couple days. I don't know why it took months, but over the last few days, you're seeing statistics and reports all over the place that wide receivers are a actual bigger crapshoot than the quarterback position. That you have seen more unsuccessful first round picks at the wide receiver position than you have any other in the sport. Now, I know these three wide receiver prospects are studs. I'm not denying that. These three wide receiver prospects seem to be can't miss, and the Giants desperately need a wide receiver. I don't deny any of that. But we talk about the quarterback position as if, well, if you draft, I mean, it's just a complete crapshoot, and it's, I'm tired of seeing this guy fail and that guy fail. We've seen him, look at this guy, look at that guy, look at this guy, look at that guy. And then we talk about the other picks that the Giants could make as if they're guarantees. They are not guarantees, especially if the wide receiver is getting thrown the ball by Drew Lock 3 weeks into the season because Daniel Jones goes down again. Or even the same Daniel Jones who played last year, who couldn't get the ball down the field, and Tyrod Taylor made this offense work much more efficiently and actually had their rookie wide receiver Hyatt, like, I don't know, part of the game plan. The fact of the matter is the Giants and Brian Daboll in particular, who is brought here as someone who develops quarterbacks, and we've seen it. The best year of Daniel Jones' career that we rave about, that we need to hold on to with our fingernails and just, oh God, we need him. We can still be something. Don't you see, people? I mean, come on, he's still great. That's because of one season, was because of Brian Daboll developing in. Brian Daboll understanding the ability of Daniel Jones to run and seeing his weaknesses and avoiding them and turn and stop from him becoming a turnover machine to just someone who tucks the ball and runs when he can't get through progressions. And it led them to a great year. We see him turn Tommy DeVito into a household name and one of the stories of the NFL for a few weeks this season. And obviously, his crowning achievement that got him this job, the development of Josh Allen. So every day as I see them attached to this quarterback, and they're desperate for May, they're looking to trade up for May. Now, I think at six, they have a unique position to offer to, say, the Cardinals at four, that they could still get their one of these three wide receivers at the sixth spot as opposed to trading back further with either Denver, who's a team that's been linked to trading up for a quarterback, or Minnesota, who might be able to present bigger packages, although I don't know if Denver can, considering what they've given up for Russell Wilson over the last few years, what they even gave up for their head coach. So I don't know what kind of package they can put forward, or how many, you know, how long they want to go without first round picks. So I don't know if Denver is someone, but obviously, clearly, Minnesota with two first round picks is someone who probably could give a more impactful, draft altering, future altering trade offer for either New England at three, if they're not enamored with one of the quarterbacks, or certainly Arizona at four. But the Giants do offer a sixth pick overall, and a spot where you could still move back, acquire some more draft picks, and yet still take one of these three wide receivers that will still be there at six, especially if you're trading for someone to come up and take a quarterback. If four quarterbacks go off the board in the first four picks, do the math. So I understand you're talking about trading away a lot of draft equity. And I understand that they lost a second-round pick, or they don't have a second-round pick because of the trade for the edge rusher. And I understand that, hey, you're building here and they've got holes and you have to build this roster and it's not about just one player. It is about just one player. It is. When it's the quarterback, it's about one player. When you look around the league at the great quarterbacks, tell me what you wouldn't give up for them. They have other draft picks. They have other drafts. They have free agency. There's other ways of filling this hole that they have throughout the roster. There's only one way to impact winning. They have to go out and get their quarterback. And I'll see. We'll see. If it's not meant to be at the sixth position, I don't think they'll force it. I don't think you'll see a Bo Nix or a Penix at six. I really don't. I could see it later moving back into the first round, but there is no doubt in my mind. For me, Neighbors is still the likely pick. A wide receiver is still the likely pick for a Giants because it's difficult to get this quarterback right now, because 1, 2, and 3 are definitely going quarterback, and there's going to be other teams looking to get up to 4 and 5 to take one in front of you. It's difficult. It's not easy. I don't think the Giants will force it and take a quarterback they don't believe in, but I have no doubt that tonight and up until they are on the clock, or 3 is on the clock, or 4 is on the clock, the Giants are doing everything they can to get their quarterback. And we'll see if they're able to do it. But plan B is the wide receiver. Plan A is the quarterback. And I'm so thankful they realize it. I'm so happy that they actually understand it. And I'm looking forward to it. And we'll see if they can accomplish it. But make no mistake, that's exactly what should happen. And that doesn't mean Daniel Jones should go. I heard, you know, Boomer this morning, I've heard other people, well, you draft a quarterback, that's it. You can't have Daniel Jones around. It's saying that you don't believe in him. It's saying, yeah. It's saying it's over. Daniel Jones is a professional. Daniel Jones is getting paid a lot of money. And Daniel Jones, if he wants another contract with another team and another opportunity in the NFL, he better play his ass off. And I have no problem, none. In fact, I think it's part of the reason I love drafting the quarterback so much is they're not forced. Forced into a situation that I think plays a lot into the idea of so many failing quarterbacks. The rushing them right to the top, rushing them right out the gate. I think it's important sometimes in the numbers of the money of today. I understand it. I understand why we rush these quarterbacks. I get it. I know why they have to play right away. The Giants in a position with Daniel Jones and the contract they can't get rid of, where it makes perfect sense to give this young quarterback some time and have a maybe pissed off, maybe motivated, and clearly looking for his next opportunity, Daniel Jones out there playing, hopefully, the best football of his career. And if so, halfway through the year, trade deadline, maybe there's a spot that someone needs a quarterback, and you can acquire draft picks back for Daniel Jones. It's the perfect scenario. They will go do it. And now, what is the perfect scenario for the Jets at number 10? This one is easy. For me, it's easy. And I think so many people are overthinking this for the New York Jets. So many people are looking too far down the road. So many people have this fear of the tight end. I don't understand it. I heard Sal all day. And I love this one too. I love the, hey, and they use this not just for tight ends, but all different positions. Hey, Travis Kelce was drafted in the 3rd round. You can get a tight end later. That's the biggest. I could give you every position under the sun and show you how you could fill it with later in the draft. You don't need anything then. I can show you offensive linemen who were drafted later in the draft. I can show you wide receivers drafted later in the draft. I can show you clearly running backs. I can show you quarterbacks. I can show you defensive backs. I can show you every position under the sun that was drafted in the 3rd or 4th round so you can find them later on. Of course, you can find everything later on if you're smart enough. But here's my main thing with the New York Jets. And here's my main thing when I think people are looking too, you know, abstract at the New York Jets when you should be laser focused. I think both these teams should be laser focused. The Giants on filling the one hole every team has to fill, and the Jets should be laser focused. And I don't normally feel this way, but I think this is a unique position. The Jets should be laser focused on the next 2 years with Aaron Rodgers. That's it. So if the idea is, well, okay, maybe a tight end or would be great with Aaron Rodgers, I suppose, but what if he goes down? Or what if he retires? Or what if he gets hurt and can't play, and now they have a young quarterback and it's not helping them as much? Look at Kyle Pitts. Look at Kyle Pitts. Look at Kyle Pitts. Yeah, I understand. Kyle Pitts had an aging Matt Ryan, who still his rookie year had 1,000 yards, and then had no quarterback. And sure, a pass-catching tight end who you're not sure if he can block is not a fundamental staple of a team when you don't have a quarterback. We all understand that. But I am laser-focused on a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 13 years, on a team that traded away everything for a Hall of Fame quarterback, who has got in bed with this quarterback and all that comes with him to try and end this, to try and stop being the Jets, the same old Jets. Stop all this losing. They've put all their eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket, and typically I don't like the idea of short-sighted natures of looking at teams because you want to build sustained winning. But I don't, honestly, if I'm a Jet fan and they've done what they've done and they've built this team the way they built it, and they do have young pieces at defense, at obviously shutdown corner, they have young pieces at the running back position and the wide receiver one, there's one thing I'm looking towards. They've built a defense here. I am looking at improving this passing game for the next 2 years, and I'll use every asset I have, including my most valuable, which is the first-round pick. So if one of the three wide receivers is still there, okay, I'm open to it. I know they got Mike Williams, but I can't trust his health. I don't know exactly how he's going to play this year. I would still take that, maybe that stud wide receiver, if I believe that much. But if they're all gone, as I think most people think they will be, as this is going to be a quarterback and wide receiver top-heavy draft, if they have an opportunity to get an offensive weapon, the likes of Brock Bowers and what he's capable of and what you've seen in his career at Georgia, and you can bring that to Aaron Rodgers, who really has never had that dynamic, never had that playmaker at that position on his team, and what that could be, what kind of safety blanket that could be, what kind of red zone weapon that could be. I'm not thinking about, hey, I need to draft at the 10th spot positions that are staples of a franchise. I need to draft pillars of an organization, and the tight end isn't one. This is a unique thing for me where I am laser focused on the needs of this particular team for the next 2 years, because damn it, I'm going to win a freaking Super Bowl if my life, if it's the last thing I do. Like, that's how I'm looking at it for the New York Jets. I'll worry about the next few years in the next few years. And if this is a colossal failure and I find myself in a worser position in 2 years because I've chased the dream, then so be it. Then so be it. I've already taken the first couple of major steps towards that. I might as well see it through as opposed to half-assing it. So I'm not concerned about Kyle Pitts and the traps of a tight end prospect. And I'm not concerned about the idea, oh, you can find tight ends later in the draft. I am looking at the best possible weapon to help Aaron Rodgers end my Baker's dozen years of not making the playoffs. I am looking at making sure this offense is as good as my defense and gives me an opportunity to compete in this division as we see the Bills starting to fade in cap hell, jettisoning players to save money. As I see an opportunity to be a team competing for a championship, that is my laser focus. So as we walk into tonight, as we get ready for, yes, a Knicks playoff game, as we get ready, yes, for an Islander playoff game, we also get ready for what hopefully will be the beginning night of a new genre and a new era for New York Giant football and what will be the beginning of a special year for the New York Jets. And I'm looking forward to it. And I think it's both the same and completely different, where I think both teams should be laser focused, but on opposite things. The Giants need to be laser focused on building a foundation for sustained winning over multiple years, and the Jets should be laser focused on getting the best team possible for Aaron Rodgers over the next two. And for me, that's drafting a quarterback for the Giants and trading up if I have to do it. And for the Jets, it's drafting an offensive weapon. And if that's the tight end, if that's the guy they feel most comfortable with, if he's the one left after all three top wide receiving prospects are drafted, then you do it. 877-337-6666. McBonnell here with you. We will get to the baseball. We'll preview the Knicks and Islanders. And we'll get you ready for your Thursday morning. It's a big one. We have a big day coming. I don't know. I mean, the possibilities are endless.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
In back of short, Jeter on the run, makes a one-handed running catch, and dives into the photographer's area. Oh, what a play by Jeter. You can't believe it.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 228. McMonagle here with you, 877-337-6666. Looking forward to the draft. And you know where I stand on the Giants, that's for sure. I haven't wavered on this one. And I don't understand the idea of, like, I was listening. I saw Boomer's story that he believes if you draft a quarterback, you should trade. Certainly if you trade up, I guess. And I understand, yeah, if you trade up and give up draft equity and draft picks to get a quarterback, yes, you are showing an immense amount of belief and desire for another player. And the days of Daniel Jones are obviously done. We get that. I think if you draft a quarterback in the first two rounds, certainly in the first round, the days of Daniel Jones are done. But I have no problem. I like the opportunity, at least for half a year, at least half a year, maybe a full season, depending on how Daniel Jones plays, how the Giants are doing. I'm open to that. We've seen it before. It's not a unique situation. We've seen other guys. Patrick Mahomes started one game at the end of the year after they had locked up their playoff spot with Alex Smith in Kansas City. Played one game before taking over his sophomore year. Like, we've seen quarterbacks have a year and not be thrusted right into the starting role. And I think I just love the idea of him not having to worry about playing right away, working with Dable on a daily basis, letting Daniel Jones play, who I don't think is terrible. I just can't trust to stay healthy, and I don't think is good enough to really win with. And I have no problem keeping him around, playing with him, giving him an opportunity to show other teams what he has, and then if someone wants to trade him, and that's it, like, trade him for what right now? What are you going to get for Daniel Jones right now, coming off the knee injury, his inability, you know, the year that was a disaster last year? You think the other GMs inside the sport are going, hey, yeah, but look at that Minnesota game. The way you guys are, they're not. But if he plays well for half a season, maybe there's some value there. I think it's a perfect situation for the Giants. It doesn't get better for the Giants to draft a quarterback. And every day they're linked to another one. And I honestly believe they like a lot of quarterbacks. I find it hard to believe they would take Michael Penix at six, considering they might be able to play the game and either move back and get him. And yesterday I thought there was no chance the Giants would move back. If they do like Penix, then I do believe there's a small chance they move back and take a chance. But I still think they would get the wide receiver and then try and move up to get Michael Penix with other draft equity later. I don't think, to me, you don't pass on great players. Like, that's the thing. I don't care how many holes you feel. Draft picks are so hit or miss. Yeah, I know Herschel Walker changed the entire Cowboy organization. I get it. You know, it's very difficult to just hit on all these draft picks. I'd rather get the great player and start filling holes with what I have as opposed to, hey, I'll trade him for 100 draft picks, and then we'll have depth and we'll have this. And yeah, you'll have a bunch of bad players. I mean, I'd rather take the great player. So I think the wide receiver's on board. By no means am I saying the Giants will absolutely draft a quarterback, but I do believe that's their goal. I think they wake up if they can sleep. I think they wake up today with the express desire on getting their quarterback. And I think they know that probably means moving up and trying to get to either third or fourth to draft him. Maybe they get lucky and are unable to do it. And at six, their quarterback that they like is still there for drafting, in which case they would take him. But most likely that seems like an unlikely scenario. And we'll see. You know, the Patriots said they're open for business. Now you're hearing reports it would take some massive haul. That most teams are, you know, rumored to, you know, not really be willing to do some sort of crazy draft pick. Otherwise, New England's very comfortable taking the quarterback, whether it be May or J.J. McCarthy at three. And then you would expect Minnesota to really get into the game and move up to four if they can get a quarterback. And if, you know, I would think, I mean, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see how Arizona treats it, but I like the idea of being able to offer the sixth pick because now Arizona can get some draft equity. Okay, maybe not as much as they could get from Minnesota, but they have the sixth pick, and you have a pretty damn good chance of getting the same guy you were drafted for. Because you might see the Raiders or, I suppose, Denver trade up to five to take a quarterback. I mean, that's how crazy this quarterback draft is. But it's going to be an exciting night. And I'm hoping the Giants get a quarterback, and I'm hoping the Jets get an offensive weapon. Matt in Long Island, what's up, Matt?
What's going on, Kristen?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I want to talk to the NFL draft. Listen, I think you said it right. Forcing is not the right word for a quarterback six. And I think they're trying to do that, build quarterback with Brian Dable. But it's just too much to trade up right now. I don't think you got to give a ton in this draft yet, the Patriots or whatever. So if the Giants are in the position at six to draft a receiver like Neighbors or Odunze, I think you take the receiver position because these guys are good. They got talent. It lacks. So, I mean, if they could get a quarterback, but I wouldn't really take one if, like, those three guys, Williams, May, and Daniel, they're off the board.
Well, I mean, it depends. I think they like J.J. I think if J.J. McCarthy's there at six, he's the pick.
I do.
I think like, he is. I don't know. I know there's a lot of people who don't like him. I get it. He didn't show a lot in Michigan. He was not someone I expected to be a top five pick, but the way things are breaking out now, I think he is. So
yeah,
if J.J. McCarthy finds himself at six, I think the Giants are going to take him. I do. Yeah. I just don't think he's going to be there. But that's why I'd rather trade up because I'd rather trade. This is like the main thing for me. I want the quarterback. I would rather trade up and give up whatever I have to give up to get the guy I believe in, as opposed to taking a chance on a guy I like at six.
Yeah.
I'd rather give up the picks and draft the guy I really feel great about that's going to be a stud, as opposed to wait there at six and say, we like him and we believe in him a little bit, but at that point I agree. Take the wide receiver. And I don't think they'll reach. I really don't. I think they're going to try and move up. I think they're really trying to move up.
I agree with that, too. I think, listen, I don't think they're going to move up because they just have to give up so much in this draft for New England as they're working out, and I don't think you're going to move up trade with the Giants, and I think you're right. I mean, I don't know if McCarthy's going to fall six. Possibility of the Chargers getting that, any receiver, but I really like the receiver. Like, there's a possibility Neighbors is great, Odunze, even Harrison if the Cardinals take Neighbors, but I think they lack at the position then. They could really use...
Oh, no doubt. Listen, they absolutely could use a weapon. No, there's no doubt in my mind. Like, the wide receiver pick isn't a bad pick. I just want the quarterback. But no, and I think that's what's best for the franchise moving forward. But I'm not opposed to the wide receiver, but also the other thing is we're seeing it. Like, the wide receivers are as much as a crapshoot. We talk about it like we know. Like, we know. These three wide receivers are can't miss. Can't miss. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, we've seen it before. Like, one that jumps out at me, and I don't know if I'd call him bust because he had decent seasons, but, I mean, Crabtree was going to be the next greatest wide receiver we've ever seen. Can't miss. Oh, my God, Crabtree's incredible. He's okay. Like, the numbers are out. The wide receiver is just as much as a crapshoot. We talk about the quarterback position as if it's this incredibly, you know, every pick is a disaster. It just so happens that it's the most public position. It's the most important. It's the most game-changing. And it's one of the more taken at the top of the draft because of that, so it's more memorable. But if you look at the history of this draft in the first round, it's really interior linemen and offensive linemen, I guess, overall, even though they're crapshoots too, as the Giants can show you for sure, as we're going to get ready for hopefully Evan Neal's third year, and he'll finally get it this year as a seventh overall pick. Every position's a crapshoot. Every single one. The only difference is there's one that changes the game, and that's why it's worth it to me. Like, that's I think it's rather simple. Like, you don't have to like these quarterbacks. That's fine. That's fine. You might like Daniel Jones. I can disagree with you, but I understand it. Actually, no, I don't, but that's fine. But you can't tell me, like, oh, I can't take another quarterback. I'd rather just take this and at least know what I'm getting. You don't know what you're getting. You don't. I sound like Brad Pitt in Moneyball. You talk about these guys like you know what they're gonna do, and you don't. You don't. It's the same thing. These wide receivers, you don't know. You think Neighbors is gonna be in the Hall of Fame? You're 100% sure? 100%? I like him, and I'll be, you know, I'll talk myself into it. Don't get me wrong. Especially if another team, you know, throws out four first round picks to move up to three, and you're like, well, what are we gonna do? And all the quarterbacks are gone, and they're not going to draft Penix or Nix in that position. So they might find themselves in a scenario where the quarterback is not plausible. In fact, I think it's probably likely. But, I mean, that's the move. And everything I see, especially now as we get close to it, and I know this is a lot of this stuff can be smokescreens. I get it. And it's hard to trust GMs. But, I mean, every report, I mean, they spent time with these kids. They've spent time with every one of these quarterbacks. I mean, and J.J. McCarthy is asked where you're going, kind of tongue-in-cheek, and has no problem giving details about conversations, goes right to the Giants, right to the Giants. Do you think that they are, you know, blowing smoke up J.J. McCarthy's butt? Do you think they're trying to just make him feel great to the point where when he's asked the question, that's the first team out of his mouth is the New York Giants? I think they are in on these quarterbacks, man. I think Brian Daboll is aching to take a quarterback. Aching. I think he is desperate to get his hands on a young quarterback, and for multiple reasons. One, it's what he does best, and it's what he's done in his career, and it's what got him this job. And two, he wants to keep his job. And make no mistake, the best way. And now this is neither here nor there, and not mutually exclusive with what's best for the franchise, but what's best for this regime is to draft a quarterback. There is no doubt about it. If these two, especially Daboll, want to keep their jobs, which, by the way, you might think are safe, they're not. They're not. This is going to be year three of this regime. And that we're still talking about the amount of holes they have. And we still looked at a miserable season last year. And if they don't draft a quarterback where they're telling you, well, I'm imperative to this kid's future and he's our future, so why would you dismiss me? If they have another terrible year of Daniel Jones, which is a contract this GM did give him, didn't draft him, but paid him. If they have another injury-plagued, miserable year of Daniel Jones, they have another ugly losing season, they have more issues between who's calling plays. Is it Kafka? Is it Dable? Oh, he's still yelling at coaches. The new defensive scheme didn't work. Evan Neal's a bust, a first-round pick of this GM. And they have another miserable losing season. And now Bill Belichick, who's going to be on the Manning broadcast on a regular basis and is out there talking football and is hovering over this franchise as the greatest coach who ever lived. You're telling me that you know this GM and quarterback, GM and coach tandem are safe? I have no idea. I have no idea. You know what makes them safe? I'm developing a young quarterback. You let me draft him. We have a coach here who can develop him. Let us stay on the course. Let us stay on course. And hopefully that's what happens. Mike in Vermont. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Big Matt, how
hey,
you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm a big Jets fan, you know that, right?
I do know that.
And I think the Jets should get Harrison Jr. And that's why his buddy, what's his name, Wilson? The guy from Wilson for the New York Jets?
Yeah, Zach Wilson?
No, not Zach Wilson, the other Wilson.
Oh, Garrett Wilson, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, Zach Wilson's going to Denver. You heard about that?
He got traded to Denver?
Yeah, the Jets trading to Denver.
Wow.
And he's going to MetLife Stadium again. He's going to beat Rodgers one more time. He's going to beat Rodgers one more time for the three straight time against Aaron Rodgers.
I know. He's had success. He had success against Green
Bay. I like Zach Wilson. I think he's going to be great.
Oh, well, me and you disagree on that one. What else is going on? Are you excited for the draft? What do you want with the draft, Mike?
I want Harrison Jr. If we can get the guy Bowles, we want Harrison Jr.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to be there at 10, though. Don't you think that's a little, that's really falling down?
Douglas going to move up. He's going to be
You got the Jets moving up in this draft, huh?
Yeah, that's what he said, Douglas. Douglas said he's
going to
be aggressive.
I'm sure he is going to be aggressive. And thank you for the call, Mike. You know, yesterday someone brought that up to me, and I don't know how plausible it is to move up. I listen. I'm all in on this season, so I'm willing to trade draft picks to go get a guy I believe in. I mean, that's for the Jets. I think it's I'm all in. No, I'm all in for the Giants at the quarterback. That's it, and for the Jets, I'm all in on the next 2 years. So if I'm willing to move up because I believe and I think I can get a Hall of Fame talent wide receiver, yeah, I'm not opposed to it. I don't know. They don't have a second round pick. I don't know how many first round. I don't know. But hey, listen. Go do it. Go get the great player because it's about these next 2 years for the Jets. You know, that's how I view it. I don't know how you Jet fans feel. 877-337-6666. I'm sure on some level the bloom is off the rose, clearly, with the quarterback and Aaron Rodgers. He's hurt, four snaps in. It's an Achilles. He's only a year older. We have no idea. He goes on Pat McAfee and anyone else who listen and has crazy conspiracy theories and almost ran for vice president of this country. And it's just, you might be saturated. You might have had your Aaron Rodgers fill. But like, I don't know how you feel, but when you make a move to bring in Aaron Rodgers, it's an all-in type situation. And for 13 years, you haven't seen the playoffs. 13 years. That's not the longest stretch in your division. That's not the longest stretch in your conference. That's not the longest stretch in your sport. It's the longest stretch in professional sports. No other professional team has gone longer without making the playoffs. That has to end. That has to end. And that would be my driving force. I'm not worried about 2 years from now. I'm not worried about 4 years from now. I'll figure that out. I'm not worried about drafting. Like, they're in a position where I believe the roster is good enough. I believe the defense is good enough. I believe they have enough young weapons. I believe they've impacted the offensive line enough in the offseason where I feel, I mean, I could still draft Alt if he falls to me at 10. I'm open to that too. You know, because obviously protecting Aaron Rodgers is almost as important as getting him weapons, if not more important. But I'm not focused on the idea of, hey, I got to, you know, what happens if Aaron Rodgers goes down? If Aaron Rodgers goes down, I'm screwed. I'm screwed. That's plain and simple. Right? You got Tyrod Taylor. He might be able to come in. If Aaron Rodgers is down for 6 or 7 games, you might not be screwed. But if Aaron Rodgers goes down and can't play, the Jets are screwed. You took a chance. It's a swing and miss. It's a disaster. And you're going to pay for it. But that's already, like, that's already here. That's already come and gone. You can't put that genie back in the bottle. So you might as well plan for him being here and how good you can make it if he stays healthy. That's what I would focus on. I'm all in on this season. So yeah, I mean, I think they could trade up. And again, I wouldn't trade down. I know they don't have a second round pick. I understand how many, you know, different, I don't know what the rest of the league thinks of Penix and Bo Nix. Is there a chance you could get someone looking to trade up to 10 to take a quarterback? To take one of those two? I guess. And maybe you get a haul. I wouldn't. I want the great player. I want the player that's going to impact this roster this year the most. I'm not looking at acquiring future draft picks down the line or making sure I have backup linebackers. Like, I'm not. Making sure I have depth at the offensive line or defensive positions and move back and get a bunch of second round picks and fill out a roster. I don't think that's the position the Jets are in. The Jets are in go chase the Super Bowl. And that's not crazy. It's not far fetched. It really isn't. And it's what they should be focused on. 877-337-6666. More of your draft calls coming up. We'll get into the Knicks, we'll get into the Islanders, and we'll get into the two superstars, the two best players for these two baseball teams, hopefully turning it around.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And Hunter Wendell said it's just thrown out Aaron Boone.
Oh, boy. Boone didn't say anything. Boone's just been thrown out of the game.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. You heard the promo there. So, yeah, Boone obviously thrown out by Hunter Wendelstedt for nothing. And, yeah, they announced that he's not going to get fined and that MLB is really unhappy about it. It's so dumb. What are they going to do? They're not going to do anything. It's the same thing as the two-minute report. You heard Coach Tibbs joke about, I want to hear the 46-minute report. Like, what's even the point of any of this? Like, they're not going to change the outcome of the game. They're not going to punish the umpires for poor execution. So it's funny, too, because you see his excuse about not wanting to throw out players. And then today in the Yankee game, I believe tomorrow's starting pitcher for the A's got thrown out, and nobody even knew. He's chirping in the dugout. Nobody knows. They throw the player out of the game. They didn't throw the manager out of the game. Right? They didn't throw Oakland's, hey, listen, that's a player inside your dugout. You're the guy. You got to get thrown out of the game. That was the excuse made by Wendelstedt. Yet players are thrown out of the game. Oh, he was chirping? Oh, get lost. It wasn't this overall manager controls the dugout. He goes in case anybody does anything. It's ridiculous. It's absolute BS. He flat out lied because he didn't want to say I misheard a fan, which is sort of understandable. Like if Hunter Wendelstedt came out and said, "Look, in the moment I thought it was him. he comes out saying it wasn't me, and I already made the decision to throw him out. And I said, well, listen, whoever it was over there, and I threw you out. It's a bad moment. I wish it didn't happen. And if he truly didn't say anything, then, you know, my bad. Is that so horrible? Like, people make mistakes. Would that have been so bad? I know I'm riffing off the promo, but, like, would that have been so bad? Like, if Wendelstadt just came out and said, look, I could have sworn it was him. I had just talked to him. Boone's got a little bit of a reputation. I said, enough is enough. And 2 seconds later, I heard someone yell. And I said, all right, you're out of here. And then he came out and claimed it wasn't him, like I think anybody would. And I just said, look, I don't care if it was you or not. I heard it come from your direction. I'm throwing you out. And if it wasn't him, my bad. Like, instead, and I think anyone would understand if you think you heard a fan, if you thought you heard the manager say, but it happened to be a fan right behind the dugout on a quiet Monday afternoon where the ballpark was relatively empty for Yankee Stadium. But no, they got to double down on it. Now Major League Baseball comes out and goes, yeah, we're really, you know, we're not happy about it. So stupid. Just like the 2-minute report. Stupid. Needs to change. A lot of things need to change. And we're starting to see, and we'll get into this a little bit when we have our baseball conversation in a little bit. I'm also thinking that something needs to fundamentally change too. Because I'm hearing people bitch and cry about it. And it's bothering me because we baseball in particular, even the younger baseball fans, I suppose, but typically these old baseball fans, they want to harken back to the way things were. And unfortunately, they have a real problem, and a lot of baseball fans do, with the idea that wins are meaningless. Wins are meaningless. No one cares. You could win 2 games and win the Cy Young. No one cares. It's meaningless. You're never going to hit 300 again. The game has changed. The bullpens are too important. It's just meaningless. And yet, time after time, like Manaea in the Met game yesterday, gets taken out short of the 5th inning with a lead. And people are like, oh, why would he could have an opportunity to get a win? No one cares. Major League, the managers don't care about it. The pitchers don't get paid by it. No pitcher is going into arbitration anymore and saying, but I had 17 wins last year. One, because then nobody has 17 wins anymore. But it's just not part of baseball anymore. So if we're going to care about wins, I think it needs to change. We need to change this dopey rule that the pitcher could throw 4 2/3 innings and get taken out right before getting that last out to give him 5, and a pitcher can come in and get 2 outs and get the win. Like, if you want to just make it where the official scorer has an opportunity to deem anybody the winner, I'm open to it. Because I can't hear any more people complain about managers taking out starters shy of getting a win when no one gives a damn. The wins don't matter at all anymore. No one gets paid on it. No one gets them. The bullpens are too much a part of the game. It's become a specialized game at the end of these games, and no one. So the manager doesn't care about that. Mendoza did the absolute right thing. That's the game's on the line right there. Who cares about the win? But here, you know, he took him out right before the win. How do we feel about this? How do we feel about it? I feel like you're not recognizing what baseball's become. So if we care about wins, let's change wins. Because I think it's fair. Manaea could have got the win yesterday, pitching 4 1/3 or 4 2/3. Why not? Why is he incapable? Why is he disallowed from getting a win? Why is he ruled out? Why is it not applicable? Why can he not be the guy who gets a win, and then someone who comes in and throws an inning and a third can get the win? Doesn't make any sense. Nor does complaining about it, you crybabies. Jeez. Tired of seeing it. 877-337-6666. How do you feel about it, Marco? Do you care when a pitcher gets taken out 4 2/3?
I don't.
Good.
But I hate the idea that the wins don't matter. That bothers me.
Well, it's true, though. No one cares.
I know it's true.
Yeah.
But we have screwed up as a society.
Yeah.
We only care about wins. Quarterbacks, based on wins. I don't care about it. I want to know if you win.
Yeah.
Baseball, I want to know if you win the game. Well, you got to win the series. Who actually won the game? Oh, that doesn't matter.
What? Who gets the W next to the name in the scorebook? No one cares.
Well, see, to me, you didn't do your job if you couldn't even qualify for the win. And there's something to be said for you didn't get the win because you weren't good enough. That's what I have a problem with.
Well, yeah.
So the win matters to me because you weren't good enough to get it.
Yeah, but
not because I got to leave you out there.
No, well, that's the
So that's why I agree with that part.
But here's the point. Years ago, managers would have given longer leashes because people cared about the wins. Like Tom, you know, Tom Glavine wouldn't have been taken out with 4 2/3. People would have been, Tom Glavine would have been heated. Like it would have been different. Nobody cares anymore. Like they would leave pitchers in. Like they would give him an opportunity to get that last out. We don't give that opportunity anymore.
Right, because guys cared about their job and whether they did it properly or not and whether they they got a win. Now guys will tell you, I did my job. You didn't. You went 4 2/3. Yeah, you didn't do your job.
Yeah, but they all, I know, I understand that. But Manaea might be different, but a lot of pitchers come in throwing as hard as they can, as long as they can, because that's what they've been coached to do. Like, you want to get on the player.
Yes.
They've been coached. We don't care about wins. You get us 5 solid innings. That's all we're looking for. You know, throw as hard as you can for as long as you can. We got 6 guys in the bullpen who throw just as good as you do. We're set.
Which like, is, that's,
so, but I'm
the just, game has evolved.
Yes.
And I agree with that, and I understand that.
Yeah.
But you're asking me, am I happy about it.
Right.
I'm not thrilled, but I understand what it is.
Right,
I'm also telling you this, and this is a sidetrack, but I've also felt this for a long time. Starting pitchers have now turned themselves into running backs, and we're not seeing it yet, but we will. We will. Because we're getting to the point where who the hell wants to pay big-time money for a guy that's going to give me 5 1/3 when everybody's giving me 4 innings that goes out there? You know what? I could pay more in getting 6 or 7 bullpen arms and getting bats. You are now just an arm, just like you're now running back. And when you get hurt and tear your arm up and get Tommy John, you're out.
Well,
just like you tear your knee, you're gone.
Yeah, well, that's the injury is also the thing. You're right in running backs. But the only thing I'll disagree with you, I think you're right over the course of the regular season. But you get into a short series, you need that starting pitcher. And we're still seeing starting pitcher. I mean, Yamamoto got how much money? Like, I don't think we've seen that trend just yet.
We're getting there.
I mean,
it's not 100% yet.
Yes.
We're getting there. We're getting close to the idea of there's going to be 1 or 2 outliers,
right,
and then it's going to get to the point where there's not even an outlier. Because why am I paying this guy that kind of money when he can either implode or he can get hurt? I might as well space it out with all these other guys, and I can get a guy, no disrespect, a Clark Schmidt who can give me 5 1/3 every time he goes out there and give me an ERA of 4, and I can win.
Yeah.
Why the hell would I pay $30 million a year for a guy that I don't know? I don't, why am I taking this chance? And that's where baseball's going.
Because
and you know where it started from? Because we don't care about the win. That's where it started from.
Yeah.
It's 100 pitches and you're done.
Yeah.
Instead
well, because
of,
they care about keeping them healthy.
No. We got to the point where we don't care how deep you go in the game.
Yeah,
because
but
we got
I think
arms.
The win is a byproduct of that. Not necessarily we stopped caring about the win.
It's a byproduct of caring too much about some of the other numbers and analytics that
come
with.
It's about getting outs and strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we don't pitch the contact at all.
It became a math game. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But all right, so would you be open to qualifying starters for a win for going any amount of a lot of the time?
No, because I'm not going to reward mediocrity.
But you're going to reward a relief pitcher who came in, theoretically gave up more runs and pitched less time.
Right, but that's his job.
To give up runs?
No. To get outs when he's called upon from the bullpen.
I understand. But
my
kinda,
starter,
but
I'm counting on you to do a different job.
But they're not anymore.
You know what?
But so now
the day
but
that
now
that,
that
comes
it's changed,
and the day
aren't
that you
willing
go out
to change the when we score it,
when we're basically to the point where we have an opener for 3 innings,
yeah,
then you can come talk to me, and I'm okay with it.
Well, no, we still have a starting pitcher,
but I'm not gonna change it for mediocrity because there's only 5 or 6 guys that actually have the ability to qualify for wins that are good enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm gonna keep it difficult to weed all this out. We get down the road where you're only going to be able to go 3 innings and it takes you 90 pitches and everybody's, no disrespect, Luis Gil, who has to throw 95 pitches to get through 3 1/3.
Right.
When we get to that and no one gets a win as a starting pitcher, maybe I'll bend.
Well,
but for right now, I'm not going to reward mediocrity.
Yeah, but I feel like we're rewarding the mediocre middle relievers with wins. I'm just saying open it up to the interpretation of the scorer. Who was the most integral part of the win. And I think many times you could say it's the starting pitcher who went 4 1/3, gave up 1 run, and was leading when he left the game. Why is that guy in because he didn't get 2 more outs, he can't get a win. If he got 2 more outs, he gets a win.
Do your job.
I think they should change the parameters of the rewarding of the job.
I also don't know if I want the official scorer who can't figure out a 17 hopper to third is an error instead of a base hit because he wants to reward his home team guy to give him any more that's on his plate because apparently he's struggling as it is. So I don't know right. if I want him figuring out who should get the win tonight.
Well, but theoretically.
Because whose agent anyway. Is on the phone with him anyway?
No, but he does anyway.
Nah, he's really not.
Yeah, he is. In the situation where the starting pitcher doesn't go five, he gets that anyway.
He does, never picks it.
He does pick it.
He gets the guy who was out there when they took the lead.
I get that.
They
I
never
know.
Go to the guy. What guy got one out, he right. gets the win. The other guy went two and a third, he didn't get the win.
Theoretically, he does have the ability. And, so and he never uses I'm saying, it. All I'm different. Saying is open it up to one more pitcher open to the getting it. That's
right.
All.
So we got Scott Boras sitting next to the official score, figuring out who gets the win tonight, too.
But nobody will care, and you won't get paid on it. No one will care. You won't get paid on it. You can't go into a meeting and go, he won nine games as opposed to winning seven. It just doesn't happen anymore. No one cares.
So then why am I going to reward the mediocrity? Get it properly.
Or just eliminate wins and losses totally.
Again, why are
have
we...
Have a team win and a team loss. Who cares who did it individually?
Oh, now it's just a team?
Yeah.
We judge everybody on everything that they do.
They get
not everything
ERA.
You do.
ERA, batting average against, whip. That's how they get judged.
That's such nonsense.
Okay.
It really is.
I'm just saying.
All right. We've gotten to the point where, why are we keeping score? What's the point, right?
Because the score dictates the win.
The win. That's the important thing.
Yeah,
the win.
Yeah, but the team
so, yes,
wins.
I'd like to know who got it personally.
Why?
Why not? This is what we play for.
No, it's not.
You're not playing to win.
No, you are playing to win, but who? I mean, what other sport dictates, like, what? Like, we talk about quarterback wins in their history, but they don't get, like, it's not an official stat. Like, does DiVincenzo get the win the other night, or was it Hartenstein for the rebounds? Like, who cares?
You say it doesn't actually count, but it does. All we do is put wins on head coaches
right.
and quarterbacks.
Right, so you can still put it on that pitcher without having a silly statistic that says W. You can
all
still look back at the game and go,
he
started 20 games, we won 18 of them.
All baseball is statistics.
Yes.
And now all of a sudden they don't matter?
No, they matter more than ever. Just one doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, so
batting average has been minimized. That's been minimized.
Okay.
They're just stats that as the game evolves become less important while other ones become more important.
Mm.
It's a seesaw.
Mm.